How many times did Jesus come before the Jews presenting the absolute truth unto them? And as we look here in our reading that Nathan gave for us this morning from John the 8th chapter, we're talking in 3.5 years already into his ministry. And how many times during the 3 years, 3.5 years of that ministry, how many times that he had presented the truth concerning himself, his purpose, things concerning how to live before God, where to trust, who to trust in. How many times did he present that to them, and yet it was not a proper response from them? And you think about it from the standpoint, I'll make it from the standpoint of a preacher. And you present the truth week after week from God's word, not of your own mind, to those that are not Christians, those that have not obeyed the gospel of Christ Jesus, time and time again with proof texts as to the reason why Christ Jesus died upon the cross. He came forth from the grave the third day. You show those things from Scripture out of all the accounts that we have in Scripture of conversion of what those people do or did in order to become a child of God. And no response. No one makes an apparent response. And we work with those that are Christians and maybe not living the type of life that we should. The elders may go to them. Christians individually may go to them and so forth and warn them about their soul and the condition of their soul and the jeopardy that they are in. And we present the truth to them. We show the passages of Scripture where we are to be there. And to make that warning, we go to Galatians the 6th chapter. We go to James the 5th chapter. And no apparent response. And it happens week after week after week. I'll tell something on Daryl as we come out of the prison every Wednesday. How can they miss that? Those that don't respond as far as an outward way to the, how can they miss those things that are so blatantly clear in Scripture? How does that happen? And I'll tell you, Daryl, I have to admit that myself too, so it's not just you. How can they do that? And so I asked the question this morning, who will respond to the truth? Now there's an absolute about this with that question. The answer to who will respond to the truth is all people respond to the truth. Every individual that hears God's word without inclusion of man's mind or thought, every individual responds to the truth of God. And that is without a doubt. And someone says, then why don't we have more Christians? Why isn't this building full? Why is it that we don't see an outward sign of response? And I go back in Scripture and I think about this. And first of all, I look and I come to an understanding that some respond negatively to the truth. And we certainly see it even in the reading that Nathan gave for us this morning in John the 8th chapter, that the master teacher of all, Christ Jesus, spoke the truth. There was a response to the truth, but it was negative. And we'll see that as we go on. But remember those that stoned Stephen. In Acts 7 chapter verses 54 through 60. Now when they heard the things that were, heard these things, that is the truth that Stephen spoke to them about their history, about their forefathers, about their own action and their own rejection of Christ Jesus, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him, very upset, in a rage. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. They stopped their ears. There's the response to the truth that he was speaking at that time. And they rushed at him. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down the garments at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep or died. They absolutely responded to the truth. not the way that would help them, but it was from a negative aspect. And even with the dying breath that Stephen had, Lord, do not lay this accusation against them of what they are doing to me. Don't do that. They continued with what they were doing and put him to death. They responded to the truth, but it was in the negative. It was in the negative. And then also, we see that from that aspect, they put more value in matters of tradition, heritage, and position rather than the truth. And you know, that holds today where the truth is taught. There are those that cannot see the truth because of tradition. It may be religious tradition or family tradition. They can't see it. They cannot get past that. Or rather, more accurately, they will not get past that, even though it is very clear. Because it's clear in Scriptures what one must do to become a child of God. And so what they do is exactly as these Jews that stoned Stephen. They responded to the truth, but not from the positive aspect. They valued more tradition, heritage, and position, their own position, rather than the truth. And we also see it in connection with the Greeks at Athens. When Paul was there in Acts 17, chapter verse 32 and 33. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, and that was absolute truth. And it wasn't a fairy tale, it was not a legend or a lore or a fable. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, his body that had been dead came forth from the grave on the third day, and he was witnessed being alive not only by the 12, not only by the women that had been with him during his ministry, not only by 120 disciples, but by more than 500 at one time, we find out from 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. Absolute truth is spoken by Paul while he is here at Athens in the seat of education and wisdom of men. Athens, Greece. And he speaks the truth. And now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We will hear you again about this." So Paul went from their midst. They responded to the truth. Some mocked, I would say the majority. And then others said, "We'll hear you again," without commitment. But there was response to the truth. Well, what led them to that negative response? They put more value on their own intelligence and reasoning rather than factual, absolute truth. They put more value on what they perceived. And you know, we're living in a world today that is trying its best to tell us that sin is nothing more than the perception of the individual, that righteousness is nothing more than perception of the individual, and that there's absolutely no absolute. It's just the way that we perceive things. And that's the teaching of men today in their own intelligence and in their own reasoning to try to say this: live the way that suits you. And that's really what they were doing there at Athens at the time. Because they were trusting in their own intelligence and their own reasoning. We also see a negative aspect to the truth, or response to the truth, when we look over in John 8, chapter verse 40. Passage, one of the scriptures that Nathan read for us. Those who would ultimately crucify Jesus. We look at verses 39 through 42 of John 8 chapter. They, the Jews, answered Jesus and said, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." When he heard the truth of God, and here's the point that Jesus is making, he did what God said. And he's telling them, "I'm telling you the truth of God, and you don't do as your father. You don't follow what he did. You are doing the works of your father. And what he did," and he's talking about Satan. "They said to him, 'We are not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God.' Jesus said to them, 'If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but I came from him that sent me.'" When you look at the plea that Jesus is making here concerning them really taking a look at themselves and saying, really figure out your lineage. And he wasn't talking about their physical lineage, but he's talking about their spirit. Really figure that out, because you've missed it. If you go back to Abraham, he says, then you would act as Abraham did. And Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans 4, chapter and verse 3. But you're not like your so-called father at all. You're like your other father. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and they carried out that aspect of their father, the devil, not many days after this, on Christ Jesus. Well, what led them to their response of the truth? Because they responded. They put more value on earthly knowledge than heavenly knowledge. It's just here before us. We have this hierarchy that is there. We have the leading Jews. They're directing us. They act in a certain way. They make demands. They put us out of the synagogues and out of the temple if we don't follow that. And so we have this earthly knowledge that we must follow. You're not teaching us this earthly knowledge that we have comfort with, that we have solace in, but rather it is that which harms our conscience and our feelings. You make us mad. We want to kill you. And they ultimately did. And there is the reason why. As a matter of fact, those are the three reasons why, I believe, at least three reasons why, the truth is responded to negatively. It's not that there's not a response. It's just that it's a negative response. The truth affected each one of these that were involved in every group. The Jews at the stoning of Stephen, the Greeks at Athens, and those that would ultimately crucify Jesus in Jerusalem. And it directly affected them. And they responded directly to the truth that had been taught them concerning God and Christ Jesus and the Spirit. And it was a negative reaction that they had to the truth. But also recognize there are some that respond positively to the truth. That we have recorded for us in Scripture. The centurion with the sick servant. When we look in Luke the 7th chapter, we'll look there in Luke 7 verses 6 through 9. Jesus went with them, that is the Jews. In Matthew's account, it makes it sound as though the centurion came with the Jews to Jesus. That's not what happened. Luke actually clarifies it for us. The Jews were sent by the centurion to Jesus. He never came face to face with Jesus. And we're going to see just how much insight he has in connection with concerning Jesus. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I, too, am a man set under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." I'll tell you that whole reaction of what the centurion has said through the Jews to Christ Jesus with forethought of what Jesus would do was a response to the truth of who Jesus was and what Jesus said. This didn't come about by happenstance or by accident. This came about by, and we have to infer this, I understand, him hearing not only of what Jesus was doing, but also the truth that Jesus was speaking. And I'll tell you what led him to this positive response to the truth, because it is positive. He understood and respected authority. "I too am a man that is authorized." When we see that word, he says in most English versions, "I'm a man set under authority." What that means is, I too am a man that is authorized. And I understand that I have things that I have to do, and that's included within that thought of he is authorized. But also, I have authority that is authorized to me to others. And I tell them do this, I tell them come, I tell them go. And what he's saying in this is, I understand what authority is, and let me tell you, sir, Christ Jesus, Lord, you have absolute authority. You have absolute authority. And I'll tell you that is the only reason that people will positively respond to the truth. That is one of the main reasons why people, not only, but one of the main reasons that people respond to the truth. They recognize true authority. That is the reason that whenever we do have a response to the truth in an outward way, and we see someone come forward, they give their hand to me or to whoever is standing up here, and they say, I want to become a child of God, I want to be baptized. They're not responding to the one standing before them. They're responding to the truth from God, absolute true authority. And until one gets to that point, they will not respond positively. We see it with the Jews at Pentecost in Acts 2nd chapter, verse 37. We look at verses 36 through 39. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that the one you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? The truth was taught. Absolute truth. And the truth was not withheld. You have put to death the Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. You put him to death. They were cut to the heart. They said, and here's their response to the truth, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, even whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And that is through the truth. When we look at this, there was a reason why they responded this way to the truth. They understood and accepted their guilt. And I'll tell you, we can quote passages and we can preach for 2 hours and we can study and we can be with people and try to get them to understand the truth. And until they get to these two points, first of all, where they understand and respect authority, and second of all, where they understand and accept their guilt, their own accountability before God, until they get to that point, they will not respond positively to the truth. It only comes about from this aspect. One has to be convicted of their sins in order for one to respond to the truth. It doesn't matter if you're talking about one becoming a Christian or one that is a Christian but have fallen away. Until they are convicted of their sins, they do not positively respond to the truth. It's just a fact. And you can sit there and you might as well be talking to a hunk of rock until they get to that point where there is acceptance. But we also see it in the very religious and humble nobleman of Acts 8 chapter. A positive response to the truth. And we look there at verses 30 through 38. And it says, Philip ran to him, that is the nobleman, the eunuch, and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet from, of course, Isaiah 53. And ask him, do you understand what you are reading? And you stop there for just a moment. Now, that's a risky question to ask, whenever you think about it. And I wonder how many of us would have the fortitude to ask that question. Because we might reason in our mind, you know, if I ask somebody a question like that, they may respond to me, who do you think you are? You think you can teach me? And especially in connection with this very religious nobleman. He is not talking to somebody that doesn't understand something about God. Neither is he talking to somebody, that is Philip, is he talking to somebody that does not worship God. He is coming back from Jerusalem, more than likely after the days of the unleavened bread, after the Passover. More than likely coming back at that time, and he has traveled 1,500 miles one way and is on his way back. You don't do that if you're not a believer of God. And especially in those days, because we're not talking about rapid transit here. We're talking about in a chariot. So you have a believer in God, but now Philip goes to him, do you understand what you read? He took that risk. And notice the reply then that is given. He says, who is the prophet speaking of? Do I understand? How can I except some man guide me? And then it says in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth beginning with the scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. He taught Jesus Christ to this proselyte. An Ethiopian proselyte. It says then, verse 36, and as they were going along the road, he came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? We see a response to the truth of the preaching of Jesus Christ. And it's so simple. How hard is it to lay that out? What does the preaching of Jesus entail that Philip gave to the eunuch? And someone says, well, it has to be faith only. Well, then pray, tell me, if it was faith only, why would the eunuch, when they came to a certain body of water, say, see, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? Wouldn't make sense, would it? Well, surely the preaching of Jesus was, say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. Well, then pray, tell me why it is, when they came to a body of water, in verse 36, that the eunuch says, what prevents me from being baptized? Do you think possibly that the preaching of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ Jesus, to one that is not a Christian involves baptism? I think more than possibly that's exactly what it is. And so it says, then he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What caused that positive response by the eunuch? He put aside all pride and prejudice to know the truth. Let me tell you how this usually plays out with those that are not Christians, and you talk about becoming a Christian. You talk about being baptized for remission of their sins. And many today that you talk to have been baptized, and I'll put that in quotation marks, in some way, form, or fashion. They may have been sprinkled on when they were an infant, and they relate baptism back to that. Others, they are baptized by the preaching of the doctrine that they hear that is not from God, and they are baptized in order to show forth their salvation that they already received. And so you have others that are poured or sprinkled, and then there's a third aspect, and that is that this baptism is nothing more than just the ascent of mind. It's my being immersed in the truth of God, and it's not a physical action whatsoever. That's usually the third aspect. Now I have to ask one of those pray tell me questions once again. Why did they get out and go down into the water if that was the case? It wouldn't make any sense. And then what people will do when they start to hear the truth from the gospel of Christ, not about what the preacher believes, but rather what he presents from God's word, such as this, they will say, yes, that's the reason that I was baptized. I was baptized for the remission of my sins. Without ever hearing that in the preaching that they sat under, wherever it was that they were going. They never heard that. They heard baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Baptism is not for remission of sins. Baptism does nothing more than to show forth the salvation you've already received. And usually what takes place with that then is either by the sinner's prayer or just in connection with faith only. And the reason that they get to that point is, well, there's a little bit of pride involved there. And you know, if I say, no, I didn't do that, if I didn't do that, then people are going to think I'm not very smart, or that I really didn't follow God's word. And I see that happen a whole lot. Well, let me tell you what the Ethiopian nobleman did. He put that aside. He put aside all pride and prejudice. I mean, He had traveled all the way to Jerusalem. He was doing the Lord's will as far as the old covenant was concerned. That old covenant had been put away. Now it was time to look forward to Christ Jesus. And he put aside all those things and said, here's water. What hinders me to obey the gospel of Christ Jesus? And that's what he said. And I've had people say, well, if you can show me in Scripture anywhere where someone was baptized for the wrong reason, well, then I'll be baptized for the right reason. Just so happens that we can show that. Acts 19 chapter verses 1 through 5. You had a man in the 18th chapter of Acts by the name of Apollos. And all he knew was the preaching of John the Baptizer. And John's message was this. Remember, by the time that Apollos was preaching this, it had been some 30 years or so since Jesus rose from the dead. So now, that gospel that was taught by John was no longer in effect. Remember, prepare ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Make straight his path, for he comes. Jesus had already come. He was baptized. He was preaching baptism for remission of sins. John was. And that's what Apollos was preaching. Luke 3 chapter and verse 3. But not in connection under the authority of Christ Jesus, but rather in preparation of Jesus Christ. So whenever Paul goes to Ephesus, he comes into that group of people that had heard Apollos preaching the baptism of John and asks them a question. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? You remember the reply? We don't know whether there be any Holy Spirit. Well, then Paul says, well, then what were you baptized in? And they said, John's baptism. Paul said, that was a wonderful thing while it was still in effect, but it's in effect no longer, but the call is made to be baptized in the authority of, or under the authority of, Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized. They were baptized. Well, they had been wet before, not truly baptized, but now they're truly baptized in the name of Jesus Christ or under his authority. So they put aside all pride and prejudice, just as that Ethiopian nobleman did also. And wherever you look at this positive response to the truth, these are at least three reasons why people respond to the truth. They understand there's something greater than themselves. God is in control. He is authoritative. They accept their own guilt. They are accountable for themselves. They don't say somebody else is going to do this. God's going to take care of it all. I was treated wrong wherever I was young, and so I can't respond to No, there's a positive aspect to it of what it's about me, not about somebody else. And then putting aside all that pride and prejudice that many times we carry with us. And people respond positively to the truth for at least these three reasons. Think about this with me in the application. The fact is that all respond, every individual that hears the truth, all respond in some way to the truth. Brethren, this is for us who do the teaching or should be doing the teaching. I'm talking about Christians. If the truth is presented to them, people will absolutely respond to the truth, but only if the truth is presented to them. Silence doesn't get it done, but rather a teaching, a concern for souls, a concern for people, so that we do teach the truth. We don't keep it quiet. We don't hold it to ourselves. We share with others the truth of God's Word. We serve God and we share with them the truth of God's Word. And I guarantee you, response will come. Some negative, placing more value on matters of tradition, heritage, and position than the truth, placing more value on one's own intelligence and reasoning, placing more value on earthly knowledge rather than heavenly knowledge, that will be the negative responses to the truth, and many will have that. As a matter of fact, most will have that. Many are called, few are chosen. But there's also those that will respond positively because of the deity factors. And those are understanding and respecting God's authority, understanding and accepting one's own guilt, putting aside all pride, prejudice, to know the truth. Those are the deity factors versus those other self factors where people respond negatively to the truth. And so I ask you this morning, how, not if, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of fact, how will you respond to the truth this morning? Either you're going to take what is said today from God's Word and you are going to negatively react to it or respond to it, and you're going to say, I don't care what he says, I don't care what the Word says. It's okay if you don't care what I say, but you need to care what God says. I'm not going to do it, and I'm just going to continue in the status quo of how I am. There will be some here this morning that will do that. They may not be children of God. They may not be Christians. And I'm talking about Christians, those that have faith in the Lord, that have repented and have said, I will do His will, that have made a commitment to Christ by confessing His name before men and being baptized for the remission of their sins. And there will be those that reject that out of hand this morning and will respond to the truth negatively. And there will be those that have become Christians, but not living the life of the Christian. They happily wear the moniker, the name, Christian. I love to wear that name. Matter of fact, I'll put a cross around my neck. I'll put a fish on the back of my car. I'll do all those other things to proclaim my Christianity, but I'm not going to really live it. I'm not going to really live it. I'll just show it outwardly. And I'll tell you, those will respond to the truth negatively this morning also. But there may be some this morning, perchance, not because of the preacher, but because of the word, that will respond to the truth positively. That will get out of their chair during the singing of the invitation song, that will come forward and will tell me, I want to be baptized for the remission of my sins. And there may be those here this morning that have done that already, but realize they're not living in the Christian life, and maybe, too, they will respond positively to the truth, and they will get out of their chairs and come forward and say, I need my relationship back with Christ Jesus. So the question is not if you respond to the truth. We are all about to witness how you respond to the truth. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.